It's lovely to see a whole lot of faces that we don't normally see. They're beautiful faces. I'm looking at smiling faces. And so we've got regulars and newcomers, people returning as well who used to be regular worshippers here. So welcome, everybody. It's lovely to see you. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your warm welcome this morning. We come to give glory to your name. We come to praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Pray that you would reveal yourself to us today, speak to us, and draw us into your presence to pray. And send us out rejoicing. Amen. Amen. We've got a few notices today, and as you know, that shows we're alive. Good. Are we alive? Who is not alive? Karen, you behave yourself. I can see you moving and breathing, so you're all right. So, there are a few things going on. And it's strange to think that in 4 weeks' time, it'll be Christmas Eve. And everybody thinks, oh no, I've got to do this, do that. And there is this panic that sets in. And let's all aim to be a non-anxious presence in our families and communities this Christmas. And let's just take our time and see things unfold one day at a time. We're starting Sunday evenings for the next few evenings. We've got services on Sunday evenings, which are going to return in the new year on the first Sunday of every month, 6:30 on a Sunday evening. But in the next few weeks, we've got two Advent evening reflective services that Debbie will be leading this coming Sunday, the 3rd, and then the 10th. And then on the 17th, of course, there'll be the carol service. And and then the 24th, slightly later than 6:30, at 11:30, there'll be the midnight service. We have now Christmas leaflets. I haven't got one right immediately in my hand, but they're on the table outside. Jesus, the greatest gift. That's our theme. So there's a good number. We've had 1,000 leaflets. A lot have gone already, which is great. Do take some to give to your neighbours, your family, friends, work colleagues. There's a short message in the middle, focusing on where is love, and then the details of the services on the back page. Very simple leaflet, but do make use of those this time. There's also, there'll be a list of the needs and opportunities for service leaflet. I'll make sure I put it out there in a moment if it's not already there. There are particular things that need doing, and in Mark's ministry as church secretary being completed next March, there's a number of things that Mark does that some of you'll know about, others you won't. And we need 4 or 5 different people to take over the things that Mark has been doing. That's the reality. And so we want to spread out the tasks because we're not looking for another Mark. There's only one Mark. And we thank God for him. Do, if you've not already got those, they'll be on the table outside. Do take one to take with you to pray over and think, how could I serve? Something else that's on the book table, we've changed all our books this week. It is at the first Sunday in Advent, is next Sunday. And some of you may think, well, actually, yes, I'd like to have a book, something to help me prepare for Christmas, to go through Advent, which looks towards Christmas, and also Jesus coming again. I'd like to have something to guide me in my daily readings. And so there's a number of books there that can do that, help you do that. So do take one of those if you'd like one. They're there. Today we have Hungry Hearts Lunch, and people who are perhaps not wanting to eat lunch on your own, but would like to eat with others, that's the opportunity. So bring and share lunch. There's quite a few people now come every four, it's the last Sunday of the month, normally. People come together to share lunch together in the CrossLink Centre. Don't worry if you haven't brought lunch today. You can still come because there's always plenty. But do come along. And if you don't want to spend Sunday lunchtime on your own, it's a nice time to come together with others to share lunch together. Just looking to see what else I've got here. Yes, birthdays. Now, I know, Sheila, it's your birthday halfway. But did we sing to you last week? So you're covered. Sheila's been done, which is great. There's a certain person over here whose birthday was yesterday, is that right?
Yes.
Barbara?
Yes.
And who shares a birthday with Colin Kenchell, who's not here today, but bless Colin. So we've got Barbara's to see to. Anybody else got a birthday coming up this week? Or have one that we didn't catch last week? Barbara, you're on your own. Is that good? Can we sing happy birthday to Barbara, please?
Happy birthday to you.
Birthday is very helpful, Barbara, because it reminds me of something that was in the UCB Word for Today Bible notes, and there's plenty of copies of those outside as well if you want something to help read the Bible every day. The notes are out there for you to take away. And it was really interesting. It said there are two very important dates, perhaps the two most important dates in your life. The first one is your birthday, your original birthday, when you were actually born. The second one is the day when you realized what you were born for. And that's an interesting thought, isn't it? So we've got a birthday, but what was the day when you realized what you were born for? Now, for a lot of us, it may be quite over a period of time rather than one day, although I can point to one day in November, 46 years ago, when I became a Christian at a particular point in time. But for many of us, that's not the case. But the day you realize, this is what I'm here for. And what we were born for was to give glory to God. To give glory to Him. Our Creator. That's what we were born for. The deal, as you've heard me say before, if you've heard me preach before, is very simple. We give glory to Him, He gives joy to us. And when we discover what we're born for, that's when we receive joy and know joy. And so we worship, and that's what we're doing this morning, with that word glory in mind. One of the verses that we'll come to in our Bible reading at the moment says this: Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. The time has come to give glory to Jesus and to give glory to the Father. Let's pray. Lord, speak to our hearts. Stir up in us that spirit of worship that we might bring glory to Jesus, glory to the Father, glory to the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our time of worship, feel free to sit, to stand. We have some spaces. If God gives you a scripture or a prophetic word, then do bring it. This is a time to engage with the Lord, to be in His presence, to give Him glory. When I see the beauty of a sunset's glory, amazing artistry across the evening sky. We've been blessed with some beautiful sunsets and sunrises recently. So let's worship using this song.
Oh,
to be glorified. Jesus, when you asked the Father to glorify you, it was to be lifted up on the cross. That was the glory that you had in mind as you prayed. And we thank you that we can gather today, this morning, with the cross, the empty cross, at the focus of our worship. Who is there like you? And who else would give their life for me, even suffering in my place? And who could repay you? All of creation looks to you, and you provide for all that you have made. So I'm lifting up my hands, lifting up my soul, lifting up your name.
Who is there like you?
Lord, when we come to the cross,
we are changed.
Give us, Lord, open minds and open hearts to let that change take place in our life.
Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, that change that the cross can bring is for everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody up here, everybody in our families, our friends, they just need to know about the cross, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for the way that we can come into this place and be ourselves and worship you and lift our hands and lift our hearts as we come before you. And we pray, Lord, that as the service continues, you will send your Holy Spirit into this place through the words that Sheila brings in a short while. So thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your love. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us, past, present, and future. Thank you, Lord, that we have hope in you. Amen.
Amen.
Lord, sometimes when we come to your cross, it's because we're at a crossroads in our life. Help us to listen to you. You to be the guide, and for us to follow where you lead us. Amen.
Amen. In a moment, Sheila is going to be speaking to us about prayer, looking at the example and the teaching of Jesus. And I mentioned to Leslie that we were doing prayer, and that and Sheila and I were talking the other day. And we're thinking about some activity for the children and so on. And as he said, one of the simple ways to pray is with the three words, sorry, please, and thank you. And we're going to come to please and thank you in a bit. But one of the things that struck me, we're going to be looking at the way Jesus prayed. And one thing Jesus didn't need to do was to pray sorry. Which is an amazing thought, isn't it? He never did anything wrong. So Jesus never had to say, I'm sorry for what I've done. But he does understand what it's like to be tempted. He tells us to say sorry so he can forgive us. And we're not going to do the song that we were going to be doing at this point. We're going to take that one out. And we're going to move on to another song in a moment. It's a very simple song. It's a beautiful song. I don't call it a children's song. It's a song that's accessible to children, but it's for all of us. It's Lord, You've Promised Through Your Son. And it's a song that helps us to say sorry. So as you hear these words, maybe you'll sing these words. Allow the Holy Spirit to identify anything in you that you need to say sorry for. The enemy just makes us feel grotty. He doesn't want us to be forgiven and free. He just wants us to feel guilty. The Holy Spirit wants us to be forgiven and free. And so he's very precise. The Holy Spirit is saying, you need to say sorry for that or for this. So I'm just going to pray, and then we'll sing this song. Please stay seated for this song. Lord, we thank you for your promise that if we admit that we do have sin that needs forgiving, you are faithful and just and will forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. This day, at this moment, and as we come up to the season of Advent, celebrating the wonderful gift of Jesus and looking forward to his coming again, Lord, we want to be clean, white as snow. We want the slate to be clean. We want to start afresh. And thank you that by your grace this is possible. We've already sung that by your grace you are changing me. By the grace that was shown on this cross that stands behind me, we have been set free. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would show us if there is any offensive way in us, that we may be forgiven and walk in the way everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You made provision on the cross for all our sins to be forgiven in what you suffered and what you said. And we thank you now, risen Jesus. You are always at the Father's side interceding for us. Thank you that we are forgiven and free when we confess to you. Amen. We have an opportunity to say thank you to Jesus today in our offering. If you've come prepared to give our financial offering today, that's lovely. Don't worry if you haven't. If you're visitors, we want you, your money. But if you want to say thank you to God and give to the work that is done here to spread this gospel of love, then the bags will come round now. The smiles on our faces, because you love a cheerful giver, and we ask you, Lord, to multiply these gifts, that many will come to know your forgiveness and freedom, your new eternal life in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
That we would be looking at another couple of words a bit later on. Hi Andrew, hi Eric, this is for Eric, and anybody else, I'm quite serious, there are packs outside if you want to borrow one. They're children's packs, but it's some people who very much relate to pictures, and so we've had some very good pictures in the past done by adults as well. We've had sorry, and then we have thank you and please. So there's a sheet here, dear God, thank you for. And so for Eric, he can write or draw on there whatever he wants to thank God for. And as I say, same applies to everybody else. The packs are under the table out there if you want to borrow one. The sheets are in there. Dear God, thank you for. We're always told to present our prayers and petitions with thanksgiving. So what do we thank God for today? And then the second one is, dear God, please. We can pray for ourselves, we can pray for others. So thank you and please. So that's what they're in your packs for. Now it'd be good to have our Bible reading, please. Richard's going to bring it for us.
I must just say, before I do the reading, when I read it, I just thought, wow, how have I not really noticed this before? And it's the first time I've felt like that and thought like that when I read these words in the middle of the week and then reread them, and I just felt like a ton of bricks had hit me on the head. To actually tell me that I'm looking and reading at the very words that Jesus said, praying for himself, praying for the disciples, and then even praying for us now, over 2,000 years ago. Anyway, I don't want to hold Sheila up too much. So it's John's Gospel, chapter 17. Jesus prays to be glorified. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. Jesus prays for his disciples. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I give them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They know with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe. By that name you gave me, none has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture will be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. Jesus prays for all believers. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me, I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In them and you, in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me, because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you, and they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them, and will continue to make you known, in order that the love you have for me may be in them, and that I myself may be in them. Here ends our wonderful words this morning.
Thank you, Richard. It's God's word is beautiful. Father, we pray that you would anoint Sheena, that she may speak your word, explaining the wondrous word we've already heard read to us, helping us to pray like Jesus. Amen.
Amen. I don't need to preach, I don't think, because, excuse me, if you listen to that word, that's where the life is, isn't it? In the written word. But I have the privilege of sharing briefly with you on prayer. Prayer has many different areas. You can be praying on your own, you can be praying with your family, you can be praying with people that you know and love the Lord Jesus, and you can pray for various things. But the most important thing is to pray. Can you remember the first prayer you ever prayed? I asked one or two, and they had to really think. And most of them said, the day I was saved when I prayed. That's what I remember. But some of us have got different memories. And the first prayer I ever prayed wasn't answered. But the second prayer I prayed, and I won't go into the details, but if you want to know, see me afterwards. But the second prayer I prayed was answered. The first one wasn't. The second one was. If you really want to know, come and talk to me afterwards, and I'll tell you a fantastic story. I haven't got time this morning, but I will tell you. So, in John 17, Jesus, first of all, prays for himself. Himself. He needs that strength from his Father God to do what God was calling him to do. So he prayed. Now we can, as I say, pray in various ways. When I was a very little girl at school, we used to go to a very big Church of England church from school. The whole school used to go. And when there were prayers, we had to kneel down. And I could do it ever so easily, but I would find it much more difficult now. But we always used to kneel down. But it doesn't matter what position you are in one sense, as long as you pray. Jesus prayed. This high priestly prayer of Jesus, so-called because he intercedes for his people, must be taken as a whole. It is part of Jesus' farewell discourse given during the Last Supper, as Jesus had already seen his violent end. He knew. I praise God that I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I may have my plans, but I don't know what's going to happen. But Jesus knew the pathway he was to take. Yet he focuses entirely on the Father's glory. He seeks glory not for himself, but so that God might be glorified. Glory here means God's presence, the power made visible to people. That's what he was praying for. God's power in you made visible to other people. And it's not just for you, guys. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. In verse 3 it says, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." Jesus' prayer is characterized by submission and obedience. Oh, we don't like that word, do we? Submission. No. When mummy tells us to do something, or daddy when we were young, our ears were closed very often. But when daddy spoke, dad usually had a much lower and stronger toned voice when it was necessary. And you listened. You're all nodding, it looks different. I know you understand what I'm saying. Yes, whom you have sent. Jesus' prayer is characterized by submission. Not to men, but to his Father God. Yes, he submitted to men at the cross, but that was a slightly different submission. But, you know, Jesus knew what was going to happen. And I find that amazing. He said, "Not my will be done, but yours, Father." His heart was on what his Father God wanted him to do. And then Jesus prays for his disciples. These are the men who have been close to him and will carry out his work for the future. He knew they needed prayer. "They have obeyed," Jesus said to his Father. "They have accepted the words Jesus gave." They knew with certainty. Do you know with certainty where you're going to go when you die? That's a question only you can answer. They believe that you sent me. The disciples believed that Jesus was sent by God for a purpose. And as we heard earlier on, why are you down here? Do you think you've got a purpose? Now, those of us that are of a certain age may think our purpose is just gone. No, it hasn't. It's just started. Come on. It's just started. Don't think I can't. And I've said it myself. Don't think, oh, I can't do what I used to do. And Stephen knows I often say it. And the Lord's really challenged me about this. But you can. You can. If you can't do the physical, you can pray. And the church of God needs prayer. Powerful prayer. Not always noisy prayer, but powerful prayer. So if you can't do rushing around with kids nowadays and so on and so forth, ask Jesus what he wants you to do. He'll always, always give you something to focus on. and to be part of the body of Christ. As Jesus prays for his disciples, he asks for three things: protection by the power of God's name, so that they may be one as we are one. Protection. We need it. The evil one is around like a roaring lion. He's around. He's even tried it this morning with some of us. But he is not the winner. He's the loser.
Hallelujah.
Believe that. He's the loser. He's not the winner. So Jesus prays for protection. So we need protection by the power of God. He also prays for us to be protected from the evil one. Christian witness will fail without it. If you think the devil isn't real, then, and you're a Christian, then I think you need to read the Word of God a bit more. He is real. He will try to deceive us. So they had protection. They were protected from the evil one. Two important things. But what was the next one? Verse 13, joy, the full measure of my joy with you. Joy. I haven't got it now, but if I got a jug and something to put full of water like that, I'd be pouring it and pouring it and pouring it and pouring it, wouldn't it? Because, you know, if your life is right with Christ, it pours in. The life of Christ comes into you if you will allow it. You might allow it just for Sunday, perhaps, but you need to allow it for every day. Every day. Let it be filled every day. Now, some of us wake up and think, oh dear. First thing somebody said to me this morning when I walked in was, oh. And yeah, we've got to be real. Don't make out. When it's not, you're thinking, Share with somebody who can pray for you if you're struggling. That's what it's all about, is sharing and praying. Joy, full measure. I always want full measure. Don't always get it. It's not God's fault, it's mine. Really. You know, we only need to ask. Fill me, Lord. Fill me. I need to be filled. At work, at school, in church. We need it in church to be filled by the Holy Spirit. Verses 17 to 19, sanctify. That's an old word. Some of you may not have even heard it. Sanctify means being holy. And when I was a Christian, I thought, oh, I can't possibly be holy. Because, you see, I knew exactly what I was like. True. But, you know, as Jesus worked in my life, I came to know Jesus when I was 12. So that's round about 60-odd years ago. But the Lord Jesus has been working in my life ever since I gave my life to him. And he's still working. And he will work until I go to be with him in glory. Yeah. Sanctify, being holy, sanctifying them by the truth. Get this word of God, eat it. Get it in. I'm not talking necessarily about memorization, because I can't remember, but I've read. And if you read, when you need that scripture, it comes in. And I think as Stephen and I have often talked about, it comes in. Why? Because I was blessed in a church that read the Word of God a lot. Yeah. That was a blessing to me. As a young person. I didn't know that's what was happening. But we used to go to church years ago, three times a day. And it was being fed into me. But I still read it. You've got to read the Word of God as well as listening to it. It builds you up. The Word of God is good. Excuse me, sorry. Jesus prays for all believers. That's you and me. That's a person that has come to the cross and said sorry for their sins and asked Jesus to forgive them. And he does. Isn't that lovely? He does. But then there's a journey, an exciting journey. But Jesus prays for his believers because he knows they'll need that. He prays for those he loves. Prays for those who have reached the message of salvation. And again, he has three vital prayers. To be in unity with one another and with God. Why? So that the world may believe that you have sent me and have loved me as you have loved me. As God has loved Jesus. He wants us love to be there. It's very strong. Verse 24, Jesus longs for us to be with him, to see his glory, the glory given to him by God. And I must admit, some time back, when I was diagnosed a second time with breast cancer, I was just said to the Lord, oh, I'm fed up with this. Just take me. I'm being honest with you guys. Second time around. Take me. I was quite happy to go to heaven. Are you? Do you know? Do you have the assurance? You can have it. It's there for the taking. But somebody said to me when I was diagnosed, oh, not again, Sheila. And I went, yes, again. And you know, I think families and close people to you hurt more than you do. I knew I'd been diagnosed and I'd got to deal with it. But I wasn't on my own. Jesus was within me, helping me to get through it. I've been through it. I'm all clear. Hallelujah. But Jesus was with me. And if you've given your life to Jesus, he's with you as well. But sometimes we have to hold on to it. Some of my friends who are not Christians blame God because they didn't know who else to blame. Don't blame God for your illnesses. That started at the beginning with Adam and Eve. Sin. But how did I deal with it? I got fed up with going to the hospital, admittedly. I'm being honest with you this morning. And there were some days when I thought, oh, for goodness sake, I've got to go again. It's hard. It's tough. But Jesus is still there with you. But I find that, yes, we pray, and yes, we go, and yes, we do what God's called us to do. But sometimes we don't feel it. But you don't always feel it. But you have to believe it. Yeah. You don't always feel it. Ooh, sorry. But you have to believe it. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is there with you every moment of every day? Yes, I believe. But sometimes the feelings get in the way. Don't let them. Don't let them. Right, you also pray to be in unity with one another, that people may believe. People may believe. Jesus longs for us to be with him. And sometimes I tease people and say, I'm ready. There was an old gentleman many years ago, and we used to visit him, a couple of myself, and he was a lovely, lovely Christian man, but he was in the home. He couldn't get out of his home. And he'd start talking about Jesus, and he'd start talking about heaven. And I used to get so excited. He was ready. He was ready to go. And he often used to tease us. He says, I might be gone by next week. And he'd do that. But we never forgot that. Yes, he did go to be with his Lord and Saviour, and he's up there now. But you know, it's amazing. Are you frightened of death? I'm anxious of the way to it, if you like, but I'm not frightened of death itself. Like I said, I'm going to be with the Lord. Are you? Jesus praised his disciples for loving their hearts. Also, God's love to be in our lives to one another, so that we too can be used for him. Do you want to be used for him? Prayer is the starting point after you've been saved. Do you want to be used for him? Ask him. Ask. Lord, what do you want me to do? It may not happen straight away. For the things I've done in years, it takes time. Yeah, you know, it takes time. But have you bothered to ask? If you're a mother, what does your children do? Mom, can I have? Mom, why not? Yeah. Do you know, God loves you to talk to him. And going very quickly onto praying yourself with other people, that can be a challenge. And I remember I said about this, and somebody said to me, Sheila, why don't you pray? I said, I'll pray in my head. Well, yes, you can do that. But she challenged me, and she says, does God know your voice? Simple remark. Well, hit me like a... That was many years ago, admittedly, but does he know your voice? He loves to hear your voice. Now, obviously, if you're in a situation where it's difficult for you and you don't live in a Christian home, that can be more difficult. But he still loves to hear your voice. My brother had, and his wife had, lots of children, and their whole household was very noisy. And my brother used to use the bathroom because he could shut the door. That was the only place he could find as quiet before the Lord. But the Lord blessed him for it. He didn't make excuses. You can pray anywhere. Anywhere. On a walk. On your bike. Get on your bike and pray. Those of you that are older remember that phrase, get on your bike. But get on your bike and pray. Talk, it's just talking. Well, I'm not very good at that. You are. You are. How do we pray? Are our prayers like Jesus' prayers, within the framework of obedience to God's will and God's glory? If you're praying about something and God's will is it to be slightly different to what you think it is, how do you react? Well, I didn't want it that way, I wanted it the other way. Or perhaps, I don't know who's listening to this, but perhaps you're a younger person and looking for a husband and you say, well, I want that one. And God says, no, I want you to wait. That's a toughie. That's a toughie when you're younger. Wait for God to direct in prayer. Believe that he will, because he's got the very best for you. And Jesus intercedes for his believers. And I haven't got time now, time's just gone. But read Luke 18:1-8, and you'll find that very, very interesting. Luke 18:9-14. I'll just go roughly, very quickly. In these parables, Jesus, the object of the parable of the judge, the lady went to the judge and pleaded about something. We're not told what it was. She persisted time after time after time after time. Sometimes we have to persist in our prayers to get the answers. But God will certainly answer, though he may seem to sometimes disregard our petition. I prayed for my parents to come to salvation many, 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 many years. And just towards the end of their lives, they did. But I prayed from the age of 12 that my parents would come. But they didn't come until they were in their 60s, 65. But that was okay. I continued to pray. I believed. God gave me that faith to believe. So this parable where the woman goes and pleads and keeps going, two features are to be noted about this kind of earnest prayer. We are to pray always instant in prayer, to ask and keep on asking, seeking and knocking until the door of heaven opens. Visually, try to visualize that. The door of heaven opened for your prayer that you've been praying for years. But God may answer the next day. But always be aware, it's not because you're a good prayer, but it's because God answers. He has grace and mercy to answer. Our praying needs to be specific. As the widow was, who day after day approached the judge with the same petition. Often our prayers are too general and aimless. Bless me, Lord, bless this one, bless that one, bless... And that's okay. I'm not saying that's wrong. Please don't say that. But be more specific in what you want to pray for. But to do that, you have to believe that God will answer it. Belief has to come in. Prayers can be too general and aimless. But we also not to faint or be discouraged. Well, I prayed once and he didn't answer me. That could have happened to me when I was 12 years old. God didn't answer my first prayer, but the second prayer he did. And that's why I'm standing here. It's exciting. Sorry. What can hinder us from praying? Time. I haven't got time. No, I got up late this morning. And I'm going to be late for work if I don't hurry up. That's okay. You can still pray on the way to work. You can still pray in your head. It's okay to pray in your head when circumstances are more difficult and you can't. Because if you're on the bus, you know, and you're praying out loud, I think people would be a little bit, disconcerted. But you pray. You pray. You pray. You talk. You talk. Temptation can stop us. Well, I need to have my breakfast first. That's true, it can happen. I need to have my breakfast first. There was a lady in the department I used to run years ago in a plastic factory, and she was always late, bless her, to come to work, and the company was getting a bit fed up with this, so one morning she was late, and I says, "Sweetheart," I said, why were you late this morning? What happened this morning? Well, Mum made me eat my porridge before I got to work. And she was quite, you can still be praying as you make your way to work or whatever situation you may be in. Lift it up to the Lord. The widow came for justice. She persisted. God wants to hear your voice. I know we don't like our own voices, and I know lots of ministers and preachers and so on would probably say that. God wants to hear your voice. In praise, in worship, in prayer. God wants to hear it. That judge was a godless man. He was horrid. George Muller prayed for 50 years for the conversion of a friend before the man turned to the Lord. Sometimes human interference can come in. But George Muller kept on praying, and in the end, his friend came to the Lord. Just think how amazing that was. Human interference can be the greatest hindrance to prayer. But there are times when delayed answers to prayer is strengthening of your faith and patience, because God doesn't want you to get too proud. I prayed that prayer and it's been answered. Better than you. Now, I know you don't do that, but that can happen if we're not careful. We often have to ask God several times before he answers our prayers, but sometimes he answers straight away. Praying to God is not a gamble. Please remember that. It's not a gamble. We need to persevere just as Jesus taught us. The Pharisee and the tax collector was another one. And those of you that know it, it's really very good. But I've done a little bit of that to say, my prayers are better than anybody else's, so God is going to have to answer my prayers. It can happen, guys. Be careful. Be careful. It's God's will to answer prayer in his way, his time. His way, his time. So how do we pray? Those of us that know and love the Lord, we have to believe in it first. But just very basically, bring your praise to the Lord first. That burden may be well upon you, but bring your praise, because praise lifts your spirit to God himself, so that you're ready to pray. And regrets, as we heard, saying sorry for some things that you've done, even that morning or that evening or whenever it is. Ask for other people first. We can be very selfish and pray for ourselves. But that's okay after you've prayed for other things, I believe. Once you've done that, focuses your mind on other people. Sharing together, participation in or with someone else. The Holy Spirit wants to share his strength, power, wisdom, and information with us in our life's endeavours. The Holy Spirit wants to share with you. And he certainly wants to share in your prayer life. It's vital. Vital. Pray. Keep praying. Persevere. Persist. And enjoy it. Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sheila. And as you probably heard us say a few times, God wants to hear your voice. We've said glory to God. We've worshipped. We've said sorry. We got please and thank you. And before we finish our service, we've got one hymn to finish on, which includes a line about Jesus praying for us. Before we do that, we have an opportunity to pray. Now, I know some people will be in fear and trepidation at this moment, but you're just going to have to push through it, all right? Okay? God wants to hear our voice. And so just for a few minutes, in twos and threes, just speak to him. Thank him. Say please. For someone else, for some situation, whatever he puts on your heart. So just twos and threes here. It's not compulsory. You don't all have to pray out loud. You know, God is not a taskmaster. But there's an invitation that Sheila's been giving you to pray, to be involved in God's purposes. And to get our voices used to speaking, we'll say the Lord's Prayer together. And then just with your neighbour, twos and threes, just for a few minutes, let's pray specifically. Thank you and please, and then we'll have our final hymn. Let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let's just pray. We thank you that you can hear all our voices as we're praying now. You can hear all of them, all at the same time. You hear our hearts. You're already changing the world through these prayers. Your kingdom is coming. Your will is being done on earth as it is in heaven through our prayers. May we, Lord, persist in praying. May we expect great things from you as we pray and keep on praying. Thank you, Jesus, for opening the way for us to pray to the Father by the Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
If you're able to, let's stand to sing Hallelujah, Sing to Jesus. Thank you. So, You can speak it by mic. Dear God, thank you for...
my family.
Say it louder.
My family.
My family. And this one. Dear God, can you read it to me, what you've put? Please keep me travelling along with you. So, let's pray with you, Eric, if we may say your prayer. Father, we thank you for Eric's family. We thank you for the family that we have in the church, in blood family, friends. And Lord, please keep us all travelling along with you today. Bless us with your spirit in following Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Eric. Brilliant. I think that was our blessing. So be blessed. Leslie and I have got a couple of tickets for J. John's, the carol service and the word from J. John's song from next Sunday. And do remember to go there, invite other people. It's Friday, the 1st of December, at doors open at 6:30. It's 7 o'clock, the actual service starts. So that's Friday. Do please pray for it, that many will respond to the word of the gospel that's going to be preached there. Be blessed this week, and let's look forward to expectation to all that God is going to do between now and Christmas. Amen.